Act 1 is organized as one huge ritornello, the musical term for when a composer uses a single theme and keeps coming back to it. By contrast, Act 2 uses a different organizing principle, that of theme and variations. The act opens with four big block chords. That's the theme, or at least it will become the theme. The orchestra plays the four chords and then immediately goes on to expand them into a musical line. That theme recurs throughout the act, but not in the same way. Each time it's slightly different, a variation on the original, and once again it uses all 12 notes of the chromatic scale. In the first variation, we find the mechanicals meeting to rehearse their play. Before rehearsal begins, however, Bottom points out some problems in the script. He can't kill himself with a sword because that will terrify the ladies in the audience. And if that doesn't, the appearance of the lion will. The players agree to write a prologue explaining that these things are not real for the timid in their audience. From here, the troupe moves on to dealing with set and lighting problems. They can't bring moonshine into the palace, so some actor will have to play the moon. They can't build a wall, so someone else will have to play wall. It's quite some time before they actually get to rehearsing. And as soon as they do, in comes Puck, wondering what's going on with all this noise.
Speak, Pyramus! Thisbe, stand forth!
Notice that when everyone agrees that all is well, Snug, who we know is a bit slow, doesn't join in until everyone else is almost done. Puck realizes he has found a perfect opportunity. He magically transforms Bottom into a donkey, an ass, so that when Bottom makes his entrance in the rehearsal, he terrifies his fellow players.
Pyramus, enter! Your cue is past. It is never.
Pyramus was never yet to tire.
If I were fair, his be, I were only.
Pyramus! Pyramus! We are the puppet!
Oh, Bottom, Bottom, thou art changed, changed. What do I see of thee?
What is this?
see her messed up of your own to you.
With the other mechanicals out of the way, Puck leads Bottom to where Titania is sleeping, so that when she wakes up and hears him singing, she falls in love. The contrast between the donkey Bottom and the graceful Titania could not be more apparent in the music. But the magic flower is working. Titania orders the fairies to tend to Bottom's every desire, which include a musical performance on the tongues and the bones. Odd instruments, but they're cymbals, really. Bottom falls asleep, and when Titania follows, Oberon observes to Puck that their little prank is going wonderfully. He's missed the fact that Puck has applied the magic flower to the wrong mortal lover. Not seeing Lysander, Hermia demands to know if Demetrius has killed him. Demetrius denies it, and Hermia stomps off into the woods. When Demetrius falls asleep, Oberon applies the flower to him. Demetrius wakes up and falls in love with Helena, so now both men are in love with Helena when before they were both in love with Hermia. The net result of all this is that Helena and Hermia get into a knockdown, drag-out fight in front of the men, and everyone stomps off in different directions.
She hath urged her wit.
It's hard to miss the fact that every time one of the women says high or height or tall, it's on a high note. And whenever we hear low or little, it's on a low note. Observing the chaos that Puck has created, Oberon is furious. He orders Puck to chase all the lovers around the woods so they'll exhaust themselves. When they fall asleep, Puck can use the magic flower to set everything right. The act ends with another variation on the opening theme. While the fairies sing the lovers to sleep, Puck uses the magic flower on Lysander.
Thank you.